I always look at it as an opportunity, because the more I pray, the more I get excited about prayer, because it is being in relationship and in communion with Him. So do I think we can do it 100%? We don't, because we're human, but I do think the ability is there. I think the opportunity is always there.
Welcome to Study with Friends, a weekly dive into the questions and answers we find in the Bible, the church, and the broader Christian faith. I'm Paige, and currently we are on week 6 of an in-depth study of the Sermon on the Mount. This study is different in that it is an 8-week study with 5 daily recordings to help foster a deeper understanding of how we are called to act as citizens of Christ's kingdom. If you would like the homework to get more info or to listen to past episodes, you can find that and more on our website, studywithfriends.org.
Okay, second bit of Matthew's 6:1-24 is on prayer. And this is a dense piece of scripture, so we're actually going to take 2 days on it. First, I want to look at the heart behind prayer and the way that we should be kingdom-oriented in our prayers. And then I want to look at what has become known as the Lord's Prayer itself and really unpack that a little bit and try to understand what Jesus was teaching us in that prayer. So this day we'll talk about the big picture prayer things, okay? Okay, so Cheryl, would you read the passage that we're going to be spending time on, that passage on prayer, Matthew 6:5-15, please?
And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Okay, so some common themes here. Not doing it like the hypocrites. So recap for me, what is that about? What are the hypocrites, what are they doing wrong? It's right in the scripture if you need a cheat sheet.
They're doing it so others can see them, mm-hmm. praise them, mm-hmm. give them rewards.
Maybe flowery words. What else?
Many words.
Mm-hmm. More words yep. than are needed. So I'm not going to get into deep. I've blogged about it. I've talked about it. But one of the big spiritual journeys that I've had over my life was a journey to understanding prayer. And it started with the death of my mom, because we prayed that she would not die, and she did die. And my brother and I, being pretty involved in the church, I was like, oh, we're going to get the miracle, because we'll know how to glorify God with, like, this is going to be a great story, you know? And then it was not a great story, or so I felt at the time. And I always tell people when I tell this story, this wasn't a crisis of faith when I started really pounding on God's door about prayer. It was more about struggle to reconcile His sovereignty and His perfect plan with why we bother to pray. I'm not going to give you the answers, as I think we should unpack them together. But that was a struggle, years. And that's why I say mm-hmm. I'm not going to give the answers, and I'm not going to give the resolution, because I think it shortchanges somebody else's journey to figure that out with the Lord, because it took me like 3 years.
Oh man, I'm in the middle of it. I wanted the answer.
Okay, girl. I will say this. One of the best books I think you can read about it is called Providence in Prayer by Terence Thiessen. It looks at all the angles. I mean, he just examines the heck out of it. And I don't agree with all the things that he's saying in there, but at least he helped me to think about all the facets. It's kind of like Power of a Praying Mom. I love that book because I'm like, oh, she just prayed everything. I feel like she exhausted the list. And so I'm just going to, you know, that's how I feel about that book about prayer. But also for me, it was just a journey of trust. And then he, over time, revealed to me. So I just am curious if you just said you're in the middle of it. So I'm curious if you guys have ever wondered that, or is it just something that you know you're supposed to do and you do it?
I believe God answers prayer completely. So I I don't know if I always thought that, but I mean, through reading scripture, I feel like it's obvious, mm-hmm. but it needs to be in his will and what is good. And so I do believe he fully and completely answers prayer. I believe it is extremely important, imperative in anything and everything we do, that we come to God in prayer first.
Me too. But what?
Not but. There's lots of pieces to it. So, you know, we would pray or whenever you pray and then, Lord, if it's your will. And I'm like, then why did I bother?
Right.
All these things. Like, and so it's just complicated. And obviously he tells us to ask for things, but you already know what I need before. So there's like, there's lots of opposites. Then you have the woman who knocks on the door, knocks on the door, knocks on the door and doesn't give up and annoys the person as a aspect of prayer that we keep pleading. And I'm like, I go round and round and then, you know, friends who pray for parking spaces. And I'm like, I don't know, but he says to pray for everything. But I ended up for a long time just praying about my own heart and transformation. And not really praying about circumstances, you know, and I'm like, but that's not right either. So,
and I was going to just touch on the sort of emotional side of it. Like, I admit when I pray, I don't really feel anything, but I know many people who feel like they've come into the presence of God when they pray. And I'm like, I don't ever feel anything. So I pray out of obedience and belief that it is effective and we're told to pray, but I admit I don't have experiences that are
thing.
Emotional related to prayer.
Let's start with Carol. We're going to look at one of the big reasons I think God calls us into prayer, which I think is really well captured in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Summarize, what's the command there?
Just to always live in a mindset of communing with God. Mm-hmm. I don't think prayer is just sit down, close your eyes, mm-hmm. talk, you know, think that you're talking to God. It's just like, hey, God, that's beautiful. Or, oh my gosh, God, I pray for that car accident I just saw. You know, like it can be anything. So praying without ceasing isn't a problem. I think mm-hmm. some people have always thought, how do you do that? I got to go to work. I got to take care of the kids. I got to cook dinner. It's like, that's all, if you're thinking about God, that's an aspect of prayer, you know, so. Okay. And then being thankful, being joyful.
So the mindset, it's about just having your mind on that all the time. Does that feel doable or not? Because when you look on the surface, pray without ceasing, like you just said, it's like, wait a minute, I'm not a monk.
Right.
I don't have that kind of time. I got stuff to do.
So you have a story in here about your daughters. And which I obviously can commute. I have two kids that just went off to college. And so I can feel that, you know, you want to stay close with them and stay in a relationship with them. The beauty of God is you have the ability to be with him 100% of the time. And it's really only you that is keeping yourself from being with him 100% of the time. It's not him. He is always open to you all the time. And it's us that lack the understanding. And so I always look at it as an opportunity, because the more I pray, the more I get excited about prayer, because it is being in relationship and in communion with him. So do I think we can do it 100%? We don't, because we're human, but I do think the ability is there. I think the opportunity is always there.
So I guess the first big note is, why do we pray? Because it's relational. And God calls us and wants us to be relational with him. And you can't really have a relationship with someone you don't talk to. So that's, I think, the first point. Let's move to the second. Kathy, would you read Matthew 6:5-7?
When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words.
Okay, so let's just do it. Let's talk about how hypocrisy and empty phrases, we touched on it a little. I'd like to go a little bit deeper because we are women. And I think there's a common thing that we can do, and I call it gossipy prayer. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Where you either throw it in to prayer time, and you're like, you explain the whole situation as if God didn't know, and we did need to, which we don't. Or you call someone and say, would you please pray for, okay, there's a really great guy. There's this creator on Instagram. I think he's Instagram. I don't know what he's on. TikTok maybe. And he's from the South. And he always starts his bits with, let's talk about, and he explains how Southern people are. Does sweet tea and like all the things. And once he said, I don't even remember, let's talk about the prayer chain. And it was about this. Yeah. And it was like, I'm from the South and I love Jesus, so I would never gossip, but I will put you on the prayer chain. And what he was saying was, I will call my friend and be like, you know, we need to pray for so-and-so, right, because did you know she's sleeping around on her husband? And it's like, actually under this idea of prayer, but it's really,
yeah,
awful, oh, what funny you're doing. And so that's, to me, that was like one of the glaring things that I thought of when, yep, when I thought of prayer. Because unfortunately, we can be with faithful people and that kind of prayer still creeps in. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't honor God. I also threw into the ring, I'm going to call it an empty phrase, but it's an empty word when we say just. Mm-hmm. Why are you saying it? 400 times. In your prayer, just leave it out. God, we are asking you. Instead of God, we're just asking you, I think, God, we are asking, yeah, you. We are serious about this. And we know that you're a serious miracle worker. I'm not going to couch it with the word just, you know? Right. So for me, that's a little bit of an empty, mm-hmm, word that I don't even know the psychology behind why people say it. But, and I say it too, because it's baked in. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I don't know, this Christian prayer methodology we all do. What are some other ways hypocrisy and empty phrases might show up?
One of my empty phrases, so I'm around a lot of church people and we say the same like 10 words. Lord, thank you for being holy. I'm like, do you know what holy means? Right? Like, if we really understood the meaning of holy, or are we just saying that because we heard 10 other people around us saying that?
Oh, that goes to the heart again.
Right, because our pastor said that on Sunday. So we learn a lot, and all of us have been at very smart churches. We learn a lot of really good big words, mm-hmm, and we repeat them sometimes without fully grasping the meaning in our relationship.
So what you're saying is a phrase could be empty just based on our heart behind, yeah, it. Okay, that's, yeah, good. So I think just is always empty. But, no, yeah, I'm just kidding. And maybe it's not always empty. But you're saying the phrase, there's not a magic phrase or lack of it that is or isn't empty. Right. It's about how we're bringing it. Am I bringing it because I want people to know I know that word? Right. Eschatology.
Yeah.
Pray for us. Like, who's praying about that? Congratulations, you learned a big word. Yeah. Yeah. So am I praying about that, or am I praying because my heart is towards the Lord? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
That's what I think is the underlying thing, and it manifests itself lots of ways. Like, whether you experience it or not, you can settle yourself that you're praying to your Father. We're always praying to two people. We're praying, mm-hmm, to God and to people at the same time. Yeah. So you have I can hear what I'm saying, and I want to just like, and you're in this, it's an awful place to be unless you can clear your mind and actually talk to the Lord. If not, all kinds of things can happen. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. I'm not going to say her name because I didn't authorize this in advance, but I have a really sweet friend. She loves the Lord, but she lives alone. She's single. And she's in full-time ministry, and we roomed together for a conference. And in the shower in the morning, I heard her talking. And I was like, I heard her talking yesterday in the shower. Who is she talking to? And I was like, of course, shamefully, I was like, is she on the phone in the shower? So I like leaned in, and then I was like, she's talking to Jesus. She's just talking about her day. And it was precious. I was like, oh my gosh. And she was like, so today I'm going to be doing this, and I would be really grateful if you could help me with this. I'm feeling nervous about it. It was like so beautiful. And I know she wasn't doing it so I could hear it. I know her. And I know she was like, it's time for me to shower. I'm thinking, like, I'm talking to Jesus in the shower. And it was just like, that's part of how she was launching her day. And it was so conversational. It was just precious. I loved
that's
it.
Like perfect. A question you can ask yourself, are my public prayers and my private prayers the same? Yeah. Or at least close to the same?
Yeah.
Like that's a good, I think, heart indication.
Yeah. It's related to And you, I'm always so happy when someone pulls the thread so I don't have to pull it. So let me remind you what you did so that you can see the connection between these overarching why do we pray themes and this dip our toe into the hypocrisy and empty words. I think it's related to go into your room and pray in secret, and the Lord who sees in secret will reward you. So we're going to talk a little bit about rewards in just a minute. But first, I want to talk about the room. Some people call it a closet. Some people call it a room. But I think there's something to be said for finding a place where the usual thing you do there is communion with God in your own space. So I think that that dedicated space, there's something to that. But if you look at the original language, what did you get out of the homework as far as what that word is about?
A storage room where treasures can be found.
Oh, you nailed it. So.
Which is the Lord himself.
So, right, yeah. Right. Okay, so we don't need to say anything else about that. I think a good way to develop it is by reading a parallel verse out of Matthew, Cheryl. If you would read Matthew 16, 18, and 19.
And they tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
How do you think that relates to going to your room? This one was not as obvious,
like,
but I put a hint.
I have five question marks. So.
If you have an older version of the study, I did put a hint in later because I put in a hint that said, what are the keys to in the Matthew 16 passage?
What kingdom?
Right. Think about Joseph. So Joseph was abused, went to Egypt and bad circumstances and ended up being, do you remember what his position was? They would say he was like second.
They would say second to Pharaoh.
Do you know what that means? He was basically the administrator. It was his decision how resources were distributed. He was the steward. So he had maybe metaphorical keys, maybe actual keys, but that's the deal, is that the king has stored up blessings, resources for his kingdom. But in the Joseph scenario, it's really helpful because we know then that Joseph was in charge of unleashing at an appropriate time and amount so that the king's people would be sustained. So Joseph, by the power of the Lord, knew what was going to be needed, but God knows what's going to be needed. So it's the king's job to store those things up and make sure that they're available for his people. It's his job to take care of his people. So all that to say, this was another passage that challenged me when I didn't understand it, because it's saying what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Feels like I have too much power. Like, that's too much power to give me. But what he's really saying is, you're my steward. You're my Joseph. I have stored things up and I'm asking you to come get them. And that's prayer. Go to the storeroom and get what you need. I have it for you. But you've got to go in and get it. So if I stood in my kitchen and I said, cookies, that wouldn't work. But if I went to my pantry and pulled out the ingredients and did the work, I might have cookies, right? It's tied to the empty words and empty phrases. I want us not to skim over that. And the reward we'll talk about in a minute, but you already said it. But this business about going in and getting what your Father knows you need is another precept of prayer, which is expectant prayer, assured prayer, knowing that God will sustain me. And yes, God answers prayers. And the way that he sustains me might not be the way that I wish he would, but he has promised to be my Lord. But if he is my Lord, if he is providing for me, I have to expect and trust in that. So when I come in prayer, I don't come because I need to rouse God from sleep by, you know, banging on the door 700 times. But I'm coming expecting that he knows what's best for me. And then I come into prayer, not necessarily with my own list, but more, show me what you have in this situation. Show me how you're working in this situation. The changing over to an expected, confident prayer. That's another overarching theme that's in the sermon. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Talk to me about that.
I have never heard that passage in light of that at all. And I think it's awesome. Even the kingdom, like a lot of times we just think about the kingdom that's coming, but the kingdom is already here. And it's not just Peter, but now as his followers, we have the keys unlocked. That's really beautiful.
So. Good. Yeah. Because, this invitation where God's saying, come get what you need. I have it for you. Come get it. And you may reach for one shelf and he's like, oh, let's go over here. Right. But he has what you need. If you come to him, open the door and ask for it. There's an NIV translation that says, because of the friend's shameless audacity is the translation. The other man got up and gave him what he needed. And so I just will speak into that a tiny bit, which is, I remember the day, I remember where I was when I heard that translation, and it washed over me because I was like, oh, I do not have because I do not ask. I'm going to ask him with shameless audacity. I'm going to ask. I'm not going to worry that I'm going to make a fool out of him because he's not going to deliver the miracle. I'm not going to worry that I'm going to look like an idiot because I asked for it and I didn't get it. I'm just going to say, we are asking for it and we know that you're capable of delivering it. Full stop.
It's not a matter of repetition. It's more the audacity.
I am rattling the gates of heaven on behalf of this person. So I may pray again and again and again and again because this person is in a life struggle. I am laid bare in that moment. I'm saying we have nothing but you, and we are asking for all that we need. Not just, would you just, but would you, I mean, there are times that I'm like, just be huge. Just be you. Just be big. We need you right now. And that's the different kind of prayer. And it's shameless audacity. The last bit I just want to read is about our Father knows what we need before we ask, so that we sum up the relational and the expectational heart set, mindset, and reasons for praying. Okay, Carol, read Matthew 6:8, and then Kathy, follow it up immediately with Isaiah 65:24, please.
Do not be like them, the Gentiles, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
And Isaiah 65:24 is, it will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear.
So summarize for me from this bit of what we've done in treatment on this passage, what are you taking away as why do we pray?
It's highly relational. It's what we're called to do. And it's a way for us to partner with God to actually bring his kingdom to come to be.
To be those stewards.
Yeah.
Stewards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. How about that expectational? Go in, get what you need. Go into the room and get what you need.
He hears you. And he knows, he's waiting, mm-hmm. right? He's waiting for you to talk to him, right? He's not gonna force you, and he's waiting for you to come to him. And he's like, I've got it. It's sitting here. Talk to me. I mean, sometimes he gives without us asking because he's like, hello, I'm here. Did you forget? Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty, because then we can remember, oh my gosh, I remember when I didn't even ask for it, he gave it to me.
Yes.
Right? And then so then I know that I can come to him, and then it can be even more and even better. And then I can be more aligned with his will, because that's a huge part of it too. Like in the storeroom, there's not things that he doesn't want for us to have in there.
That's right.
Right. He's not going to give us anything that's not good for him and good for us in our lives. And so those things aren't waiting. So then I'm more aligned with his will. So then what is waiting there for me is then what I become that I want to desire more of. And then so then he's like, yep, it's sitting here waiting for you. There you go. It's all yours. You're ready now.
Thanks again for joining us today on Study with Friends. We hope that you've found some deep truths that will strengthen your walk with Jesus. We here at Study with Friends are modeled more like a small group, and we encourage you to find one through your local church. Make sure to find a church where the Bible is taught in every situation. Study with Friends is a completely donor-supported organization. If you've been blessed by our ministry, would you consider donating? Monthly partnerships are particularly helpful, but no amount is too small. We also love to hear from you. You can stay connected on all the major social media platforms or by email. You can find links to all of these on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you've missed any episodes and are out on the go, be sure to catch the ladies on any of your favorite streaming platforms. Or you can catch the ladies via video on YouTube. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time when we study with friends.